This show is brought to you by BigAndTallMart.com. BigAndTallMart.com is your number one source for all things big and tall. From licensed t-shirts to casual wear and everything in between, BigAndTallMart.com has you covered. Use promo code GEEK10 on checkout to save 10% on orders $50 or more. BigAndTallMart.com is a proud sponsor of ThisWeekInGeek.net.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of The Prototype. I am joined by
Mike the Birdman Dog.
And I'm Jamie JJ Johnston. We are back yet again, and we've got an exciting episode for everyone. Well, what have you been playing lately, Dad?
Well, because we're recording this episode slightly out of order, I've actually been playing Watch Dogs for about the past week. I got my copy the Friday before launch, just beat it this past Friday night, and yeah, I've been playing a shit ton of that. You know what? Through playing Watch Dogs, I've discovered something very personal.
Uh-oh.
I suck at poker.
He's gone on a quest of vision.
Yeah, I've discovered I should never go near a poker table.
Oh.
I am fucking terrible. However, Blair is a fucking card shark.
Oh.
Like, retardedly good at it. I'm like, wow, fuck. Like, literally.
Hey, Blair, want to go to the casino?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Make like, some money.
I'm thinking when we go to Vegas, I should just give her some money and say, hey, let's win us some new plane tickets home. I couldn't believe just how bad I am at it. I mean, then again, the first time someone showed me how to play Uno was about 10 years ago. And I asked, so when do I get to kill something? So that's how terrible I am at card games. Unless it's like Magic or Overpower, I'm fucking terrible. What else have I been playing?
Well, how is that game? Because I haven't actually got to play it.
Fantastic. Although I would only recommend it on the next gen consoles.
Oh, okay.
Just because the PC's having multiple issues right now. The PS3 has major performance issues. And you don't get two multiplayer modes, technically, in the older version compared to the newer ones. You don't get this online decryption one, where it's basically capture the flag, more or less. And this other one you don't get either.
I'm going to be so glad whenever they get out of this hole. We're going to make the new generation games for the old generation consoles still. They need to just stop doing that. They're fucking killing the games by doing that.
Yeah, like, it's about time, guys. Just focus on next gen. If you have games in development for the 360 PS3, finish them. Let's focus on... Let's move forward,
Let's move on from the old crappy shit.
Also been playing the new Wolfenstein as well.
Anyway, yeah.
And Mario Kart 8, which is a tremendous amount of fun.
So, for those of you that have a Wii U, go get it.
Yeah, the whole, like, 10 of you. but we actually have something in the works for the Wii U for our next show. Well, kind of a Nintendo-centric show, but we'll talk about that a little bit later on.
Well, technically, because like you said, we've got this out of order now of how we've recorded it. It'll be in two shows, because the next show is the Harmony one, right?
Yep, and then
Rhythm
after
Games? Yes.
Then after that should be E3. So after E3, we have something special.
Oh, shit, yeah, we got E3. I can't wait for E3 this year, actually.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
Anyway.
What have you been playing?
I actually had a couple friends convince me to get Diablo 3 Reaper of Souls, the expansion. Mm-hmm. And I tried it out. It's Diablo 3, from all the patching that they've done, and the game is completely different. It's a lot more like Diablo 2, so I've actually been enjoying it. Unlike whenever I first played Diablo 3 and had my account hacked because of all the real money bullshit, they just hacked everybody. But now they've pretty much got rid of all that, and they've added in a lot of like smart drops and stuff. So when items drop, they will be catered to the class that you're playing. Rather than just being random. So like, you won't get barbarian drops when you're playing as, say, a wizard. Which was stupid. So it's a lot better now. A lot of content with the expansion, which was $40, though. I put a lot of hours into it. Other than that, pretty much been playing that as well as, you know, the usual Final Fantasy 14 and other little tidbit games. Anyway, on to today's subject. We were supposed to have a guest host for this because we kind of suck at this one. We're doing sports games. Everything revolving around sports games from old school all the way to new school. I was going to have a friend that plays, you know, lots and lots of hockey, football, all that stuff, but unfortunately, times fell through and we need to release the episode, so we're recording without them. So we're going to go to the best of our knowledge of sports games, and considering you just said whenever you were talking about Uno, when do you get to kill something, that's about the extent of us liking sports games. Some of them are really good, though, and I'm going to try to point out some of the really good games that, if you're not a sports fan, you might enjoy. So we may as well start way back at the start of sports, you know, video games, which the very first one, if you probably remember, well, you probably weren't alive back then, but you probably know as a video game person, it was called Tennis for Two. This was made in 1958. Do you remember this?
Was this like a precursor to Pong?
Yes, it is precursor to Pong. It was made for played on an oscilloscope, which I don't even remember what that is, but I think it was like a giant ass fucking computer, because they were trying to demonstrate how an action game rather than a previous puzzle games could be played on a computer, because before it was all puzzles and shit. So Tennis for Two is basically Pong, like a even shittier version of Pong. Later on, there was like Taito's Crown Soccer Special came out 1967, Sega's racing game Grand Prix 1969, which, yes, technically racing is a sport, so we will have some of them in this show, even though there's so many subgenres of racing games that we'll probably end up having an episode about that on its own. Another racing game, Speedway 1969. And in the 70s, arcade games, that's when arcades basically started happening, and Atari had Pong in 1972, which was the first commercially successful video game. So that's why you thought of Pong, because it's pretty much what everybody thinks of when they think the very first video game.
Mm-hmm.
And it just happens to be a sports game, because it's technically tennis in theory.
Really simplistic tennis.
Extremely simplistic tennis, but I mean, for what they had, they made a fucking video game, and if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have fucking video games. So, you know, well, them and other venues of video game production.
Well, it's, you know, it kind of makes sense that the first games would be based upon sports, because that's something everybody can recognize. And I remember, like, I've seen a number of documentaries on the rise of video games and all that shit, and it's weird to think how ridiculously popular Pong was when they brought it home to the arcade, when there was the arcade version and then there was the home console versions. Like, and I remember some of the early sports games where they would take Pong, but I think it was in Television or ColecoVision, it was one or the other, I think, you would put these overlays on your TV, they'd be these cellophane graphics things, and you could technically turn table tennis into hockey, you could turn it into curling and all that sort of shit. And it's weird how our video game heritage literally comes from sports games, which is kind of strange.
Well, it's because, like, that's what everybody knew back then, is tennis, basketball, hockey. Well, I'm not even sure when basketball actually came out, but see, I'm not a sports guy, so I don't know the history of sports and more video games. But that would have been the kind of things that they knew back then, was puzzles and sports. So they hadn't really thought of the idea of shooters and everything yet, because that was way too complex for anything that they could have done. And that's why, you know, over time, they slowly developed to the point where they're like, hey, you know, we could make a little guy running around with a sword on an adventure. Or, Like, because that's Zelda, right?
Yeah, or like, or
but that was a long time after Pong.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny because even early on, like once people started figuring out, hey, we can do narrative for games, like people like Richard Garriott in the Ultima series, which began as a text-based adventure, I think on like the early Macs and the early PCs. I remember the earliest sports game I've got a memory of is when my parents bought me my first Nintendo in 1985. My mom bought me the black box ice hockey game where you could play as the short dude, the skinny dude, and the fat dude. and you were all the national teams. And that was my first experience with a sports game was that. And my parents also bought me Rad Racer, which, as we mentioned earlier, you could technically tie racing games into sports, but it's one of those areas where it's its own genre, and we should probably talk about it as a whole. Yeah. But yeah, playing ice hockey, it was surprisingly fun, and I remember thinking, oh my god, this is so cool, I can pass the puck, I can set up plays, there are penalties, somewhat, I mean, like, you could body check people, and that's how I learned sort of the fundamentals of hockey before I started watching it on TV with my parents, stuff like that. Another game, early Nintendo, that was a lot of fun, and was the first game I can remember having synthesized voice, or one of the first. The first one I remember was Bayou Billy. But the second one was a game called Blades of Steel.
That actually had simulated voice in it?
Yeah, it was like,
I never played it.
It was like, Blades of Steel! So you couldn't really understand it. But yeah, and it had licensed NHL teams in it, which was a huge deal too. And that's something a lot of people don't think about with sports games. You gotta pay for licensing.
Oh yeah.
And I remember playing as the Toronto Maple Leafs and all this other crazy shit. And I remember kicking the shit out of Detroit because I've always hated that team, especially when they were under Scotty Bowman. they're fucking goons. Yeah, like back in the day, that was fun, and that game was really interesting because it took the hockey experience and made it better because you could fight, and the game would go into this kind of like a 2D perspective as opposed to not quite isometric, but like top-down-ish, whatever, for playing the hockey, and you'd go into the fight, and it would be like a 2D fighter, and you could block, you could uppercut, you could punch him in the head, and you could basically knock the shit out of him.
And this, folks, is why he actually enjoyed this game.
Oh my god!
Not all the other reasons.
No idea. I literally would start fights as often as I could. Like, that'll be a 5-minute penalty for fighting, 2 minutes for interference. Yeah, don't give a shit, it was fun. and yeah, it was really funny how that kind of set me down the road, but there were other great sports games for the NES, too. If you like Super Dodgeball, I think Crash and the Boy Street Challenge is a sports game, if I'm not mistaken. Another one that I really liked, and I actually had a fan send this to me a couple years ago for Rad, it was Snoopy's Wacky Olympics.
What?
Yeah, oh my god, this game was so much fun. It was literally just Snoopy, and you
I
had...
didn't know that existed.
And you had to compete in these weird Olympic events. One was pole vaulting, pretty self-explanatory. Another one was where you'd have a tower of pizzas, and you had to lose as few as possible walking across a parking lot in Italy. It was the Walking Tower of Pisa. Another one was
Tower of Pisa.
You had this really weird boot, and you had to throw the boot over the canal in like Venice or something. I think there was one other Olympic sport too, but yeah, that's really weird. I also remember playing. And I guess this you could kind of count, too. I would consider this the first extreme sports game. Because everybody had this game when they were kids, for whatever reason. Skate or Die.
Oh, my God. I love Skate or Die.
I sucked at it so bad. But it was fun, though.
I liked its adventure mode. Mm-hmm. And oddly enough, I actually liked both modes. There's the mode where you can just, you know, be on a skate ramp and you do tricks and try to get points, which is basically the very first skateboarding game ever, or at least good one. I don't know of any other ones before it. And then the adventure mode was kind of like an RPG mixed with skateboarding. It was hard as fuck, but such a good game.
Oh, yeah. Like, I remember doing the half pipe and the jousting.
I didn't even think of that as a sports game. Shit.
Yeah, and it's weird because you don't think about this type of stuff. And you think about games like even Bigfoot. That's
it's
off-road.
A Bigfoot game? Yeah. Oh, the Monster Trucks.
Yeah, and you think you think about that, and you think about...
I was thinking, you know, Giant Ape Man.
There was another one that was in the arcades, but it was around for decades, it feels like. And it was something Iron Man Ivan's Off-Road Rally, and it was an arcade cabinet that had four steering wheels.
Oh, yeah, there's a Nintendo version of that, too.
Yeah, like, that's a sports game when you really break it down. Excite Bike. That's a sports game. It's
yeah, that was one of the ones I was actually going to bring up that most people don't think of as a sports game, but it is sports. It's motocross. But it's probably one of the funnest Nintendo games out there.
Yeah, and it was also one of the first ones that had a create a track mode, if not the first.
Yeah, it might be the first game out there that had a create a track. Which is really surprising because it's fucking Nintendo, man. It's a very, like, very basic console here, and it had a level editor.
Yeah, and that's one of the things people don't realize is stuff like this would pave the way for, like, just dozens of thousands of games later on because it would, like, because when you think about it, sports games really do a lot for when you think about this. Think about physics.
Oh, yeah.
Like how hard you hit a ball, how does the puck bounce off the boards? I remember another sports game that I've played a shit ton because it was sci-fi sports. Base Wars for the Nintendo. Robots playing baseball. Sure, you had your bases loaded. Sure, you had your RBI baseball. Fuck that shit. I have a robot with a laser sword. and that's the thing too. You would play regular baseball and you'd have the updated teams from the future, like the Toronto Cyber Jays, the Boston motherfuckers or something. I don't know.
The Boston motherfuckers. They're the best team around.
That's right. You don't fuck with them. So you're playing with these teams and you can choose the different robot types. You can have guys that are part motorcycle that run or that roll really fast. Guys that are tanks.
See, I've never played that one, but you always talk about it, and I've always wanted to pick it up.
It's such a good game. And the fact that, let's say, a guy tries to tag you and you're going to first, you can fight him. And
really?
If you beat the shit out of him, you get the base. Or if you do enough damage, you can destroy him, which means if you can kill three or four of his guys, the other team has to forfeit.
What?
So you can win by pure
That's
force.
Awesome.
Exactly. Why has nobody remade this game for Xbox? My God. Kickstarter.
See, this is where we're coming with the whole, we like the idea of sports games, but we like the idea of sports games that have this kind of shit.
Oh, yeah. Like there's...
We would much rather play these because they're more exciting.
Oh, yeah. Like, and you also think back to other games. Once again, its own subgenre of gaming, wrestling games. There were four wrestling games, or five, actually, there were probably six or seven wrestling games for the Nintendo. There was WrestleMania, WrestleMania Challenge, King of the Ring, and I can't remember, Steel Cage or something. And then there was WCW, Tecmo Wrestling, and the original Pro Wrestling from the Black Box series.
Yeah.
And just, goddamn, there's that too. I remember one of the first basketball games I remember seeing was Larry versus Bird, or Bird versus Johnson. I don't know, something like that. It was the guy from the Boston Celtics versus Magic Johnson.
All the basketball games always seem to have like names of players and stuff as the title rather than just being like basketball.
Yeah, I mean, I remember for Super Nintendo, for example, they had a lot of baseball games had a lot of players. There was Ken Griffey Jr. I remember for the Sega Master System.
Ken Griffey Jr.'s baseball. What else have I seen recently?
Reggie Jackson was available on the Sega Master System, and that was baseball. Let me see. I know there were other ones too. Bo Jackson had a baseball game, I think, because Bo knows, because he played basketball and football and baseball at the same time.
Actually, before we move on to the Super Nintendo Genesis era, one of the best sports games on the Nintendo ever that everyone will actually know, but we didn't put it on the list because you don't think about it right away. Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
Yeah, that's another boxing game. That is a sports game,
technically, because it's fucking boxing.
Yeah.
And it is amazing.
Oh, my God.
Because it's arcadey and fun rather than real rules.
Yeah, and there's even, like, I didn't know this until a couple of years ago. There's an arcade version of it, too.
Is there?
Which is totally different, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's more what the Super Nintendo one was based off of, so I think. I'm not 100% sure of this fact, so don't take it as verbatim. But yeah, there was shit like that, too. I know George Foreman had a game. I know there was Buster Douglas for the Sega Genesis.
Wasn't John Madden Football... it started in the 1990s era, right?
92, I think, was the first one. Yeah, and that spun off really weird, because football, obviously, it's a big deal to millions of Americans and Canadians and fans all around the world. And they started... EA was really smart with this and started using John Madden, who is known as a very colorful color commentator. And, yeah, he got his... own series, which still exists today. There was, I think they tried to do it with basketball too. I think it was Dick Vitale or something like that.
Dick Vitale.
Yeah, I can see the guy. He's this little bald dude, but he's really entertaining.
Clearly, his series did not catch on then. John Madden.
There's another guy. They had Tommy Lasorda Baseball, and I think that was for the Genesis too. And then they started spinning off into college football, like the NC, like college football, whatever, or the NCAA for basketball. And they started using not just NFL teams, but they started talking college teams. Man, one of the best sports games ever too. I forgot to mention Tecmo Super Bowl. I suck at football games, let me tell you. That's the question, when do I get to kill something comes up. But Tecmo Super Bowl made it understandable because it was so simple, but it was so much fun too.
That's for the Genesis and the Super Nintendo, right?
Tecmo Super Bowl? No, that was just for the Nintendo.
And
then,
sure?
Yeah, then there was 10 Yard Fight was yet another football game that I can think of. Games, here's one everybody should know. Golf. Tiger Woods. Mario Golf, technically.
Oh, God, here we go.
Which, you know what, it's weird.
Mario has his hand in everything. I don't think we need to add him to all of the lists.
Well, it's weird because there's so many Mario sports games that nobody talks about.
That's true.
Like Super Mario Strikers. No one talks about that. Or Mario 3-on-3. Basketball for the DS. Hell, one of my favorite games from the Nintendo 64 was Mario Tennis.
Fucking Mario Kart.
Yeah, Mario Kart. Yeah, kart racers.
Mario Kart is, like, probably one of the most known sports games that people don't realize is actually a sport. It's kart racing. Awesome power-ups, which is why we play it.
Another one that
if it was just carts, I don't think it would be as popular.
There was another one that I remember too from that era, and it was a game called Top Gear. I don't know if the show's been running for that long. This was about 94.
Was it even based on the show?
I kind of wonder, but I doubt it, because I didn't have
I don't think it was.
The dude in the helmet. Which I've only ever seen bits and pieces of that show. Actually, one of my friends, Mark the Engineer, does a pretty mean version of him. But anyway, yeah, I'm trying to think of other sports. I mean, one of the best sports games that came out of the 1990s. Everybody's going to know where this is from. From downtown, he's on fire. NBA Jam. The only time in my career, in my life on this planet, have I ever given a flying fuck about basketball. I don't know any of the rules. None. I know what traveling is. You can't walk with the ball. And that's about it. But no, NBA Jam, that was so much fun, even at home in the arcade. This is one machine that always had people around it. And Midway, the guys that made Mortal Kombat, would hide characters in there. You could play as Scorpion and Sub-Zero.
Oh, yeah, I remember this.
Oh, my God, that was so much fun. And then they had NBA Jam Tournament Edition. And it was just retarded fun how just simple 3-on-3 basketball that they made arcadey was really fun. And then they made NHL Open Ice, which was 3-on-3. I used to play as Toronto. And I had a code I picked out of an EGM magazine. So I'd have Doug Gilmore, Wendell Clark, and Gordie Howe on the same team.
There's actually one of my favorite games as a kid, which oddly enough is a baseball game. Super Baseball Simulator 1000 for the Super Nintendo. I think there's a Nintendo version as well,
I
played the Super Nintendo one. Basically, it's baseball, but all of your characters, like you can customize a team, create a team, all that, and you can give them superpowers. So, like, basically they could jump super high with their special jump move, or they could slide, or say the guy's up to bat, they could have, like, rocket ball. So once they hit the ball, it just shoots straight towards the wall, and anyone that tries to catch it just gets impaled by it and goes with it until they hit the wall and get knocked out. The pitchers had special powers. So you could, like, throw multi-ball, so whenever you threw it, it would just split into, like, 10, and it would be really hard to fucking swing at it. It had multiplayer, too, so you could play with a friend, and that would really confuse you. You could have, like, drop ball and stuff, so when you throw it, it just drops right down and then hits the mat, so they almost automatically strike out, or they just don't swing. It was just really fun because it's odd because it was legit pretty much the exact same as all other sports games, except those little superpowers that made it actually entertain someone like me that hates sports games. Well, it's not that I hate them. I just don't enjoy them as much as other games, so I don't play them.
Well, it's kind of like, think back to this. When we played games as a kid, most of the games we played against our friends were sports games. I mean, really think about that. Because any games that were cooperative, like, say, Contra, you were working together. Mario was who got further. Yet the only games I can think of you played head-to-head were sports games.
I'm trying to think of any other ones here, but, yeah, nothing's really coming to my top of my head.
And it's really kind of funny. I mean, sports games has helped evolve multiplayer over the years. And then I guess let's talk about the Super Nintendo era when things really started to change up and sports titles started to take themselves a little bit more seriously. I remember specifically EA when the birth of the NHL series, starting with NHL 94, 90. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was NHL 94, a game that everybody had for the Sega Genesis for some reason. I think it's one of the most common sports games you'll find, at least in retro.
Well, it was for Super Nintendo as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I always see the Genesis one.
Yeah.
It's really weird. But yeah, I mean, they started having licensed rosters. They started doing more when the league expanded. You got all the new teams, stuff like that. So each year-to-year wasn't just roster updates. They had a mode where you could simulate a season. They had where you could trade players. You could negotiate salaries, stuff like that. I mean, it's amazing how in-depth sports games get. I mean, you think games like Mass Effect, where your decisions affect the future. Man, you trade the wrong dude at the wrong time, or you don't send him to training camp. And there are some sports games now where you have to do that. Mm-hmm. Like, send them to the therapist or some shit like that. It's weird. But back in the day, yeah, like, I remember it was a big deal for me with NHL 95 where you could create a player. And it was how fast he could skate, what he could do, what his final rating was. The best player I ever made was... I don't know whether this name is racist or not, but I called him Chico Mongrico. And he was about as good as Eric Lindros, because I was able to jack his stats, because I figured out, all right, I see how the formula works here. And it was so cool. And they'd even have after action commentary from a sportscaster. It would just be text on a screen, but it would be like, tonight, Dougie Gilmore and Chico Mongrico scored against the St. Louis Blues, leading the best of seven series, 3-1, or shit like that. And that was really intense, the fact that it started to get more simulate-y for stuff, too. And then football, there's an insane amount of plays. Like,
yeah.
Like, well, oh my God.
See, we're basically getting into the complexity of real sports at this point, once you get to the Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis era, when they started adding all of that in, because they had nowhere else really to go. They had to improve graphics or add in more fucking stats, which they added in both. And eventually, 1994, from what I'm reading here, because I didn't really get into the Sega side of this, but Sega's Virtua Striker, first association football game to use 3D computer graphics, and was also notable for its early use of texture mapping. 1994, really?
There's Holy shit.
That early to get 3D? Holy shit.
Yeah, it's amazing when you think about it, and just other sports started to get licensed and more complicated too, like FIFA, soccer, or football to you Europeans. I remember when they started to talk about driving games getting more sim-like. One of the early games for the PlayStation 1, Gran Turismo.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you would fine-tune your engine, choose what tires you want, and shit like that. Although, it's weird. I don't remember there being a lot of good sports games for the N64 outside of wrestling games.
Well, oddly enough... like after Super Baseball Simulator 1000 for the Super Nintendo, I started to just not even care for sports games, probably because the Super Nintendo had so many RPGs, which is the stuff that just grabbed me instantly. And I strayed from playing really any sports games just because it was like, I could buy a sports game or I could buy a fucking Super Mario RPG or some shit. Very drastic, obvious choice for me. Let's just say that.
I thought of one sports game on the Super Nintendo that pushed the hardware limitations. NHL Stanley Cup. This was a one published by Nintendo. I think it had licensed teams, but not the NHL PA license, which means they couldn't use real players, but you could use real teams. Which, what's the point?
That doesn't make sense.
I know. But NHL Stanley Cup was a hockey game that was 3D. It was all Mode 7, which really? Means it had the special chipset inside on that particular board. And without games like NHL Stanley Cup, I'm probably talking out of my ass here, but I think we wouldn't have games like Star Fox. Because it was super...
Star Fox is the first one to have Mode 7.
I think it was NHL Stanley Cup. I think it may be by 6 months. Double check that shit. Although they're probably in development at the same time. I don't know. Either way. But yeah, it's stuff like that. And you think about what Sega did with Virtua Racer. There was a special chipset built for that Genesis cart. And then when it went to the 32X and all that shit. Hell, what? Here's a really weird game. This came out on the Sega CD. It was based upon the movie White Men Can't Jump, a basketball movie starring Woody Harrelson and Wesley Snipes. If I'm not mistaken, I think it was on the Sega CD or the TurboGrafx-16. Either way, it sucked.
I don't see any sports games on the Mode 7 list. I think he lied to me.
I don't think so. You know what? Look up NHL Stanley Cup on the Super Nintendo.
Okay.
Let's be sure.
You keep talking.
Yeah, all right.
I'll look this up.
I will keep talking. I need to know now. Because, yeah, I'm talking out of my ass.
What am I looking up? NHL
Stanley Cup.
Stanley Cup, all right.
There we go. It was, evidently there was another one that had this sculptured NCAA basketball, which was the first console game to utilize 3D. Well, who the fuck knew that? And that's another sports game you always see everywhere. Mode
7. Okay, you did not lie to us. Okay.
Yeah, so it's stuff like that that I'd see. But yeah, for the N64, I know there was Wayne Gretzky's 3D hockey. Mario Tennis. I don't remember any basketball game. I know there was football for it. I'm almost certain of that. But yeah, I remember a lot of wrestling games. And I remember wrestling games for a long time were some of the best sports games because the WWE and WCW and all them, basically all the big wrestling companies would take such care in a lot of ways because they'd always try and give you the best superstars of the time. They try and give you updated moves and shit. In fact, some of the most technical games I play now, when you really break it down, are wrestling games. Like WWE 2K14. Holy fuck, is that game complex. But simple to play, but difficult to master. You'd also start to get... I don't think you could count flight sims in sports, even though I know there is competitive flying, but no.
Yeah, I wouldn't really class it as a sports game. It's more just a simulator.
Yeah.
I mean, some people might argue with us. If you want to argue with us, we got our Facebook group. Go there. Argue.
I'm trying to think. I mean, the PlayStation 1 had everything. And in fact, that for a long time was like the place to get. Because I think that's where MLB The Show started, I think, was on the PlayStation 1. Not 100% sure of that. But I remember there was always the hockey games for it. Always football, always basketball, FIFA, etc. And then we started to get extreme sports games again. For example, Tony Hawk Pro Skater. One of my favorite all-time series, not just because I thought skateboarding was cool, fantastic soundtracks. Like, Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3 is in my top 10 favorite soundtracks of all time. But Tony Hawk, when you think about how that game came about, trying to translate skateboarding so it felt real. So you'd have professional skaters like Tony Hawk, Bam Margera, Rodney Mullins, people like that, Eric Costin, saying, okay, we want to be able to do all this, but now we're going to include being able to manual, to go switch or goofy, stuff like that. I also remember around this time with Pro Skater, you started getting stuff like snowboarding. That's one for the N64.
Oh, yeah.
Snowboarding fucking 1080.
Snowboard Kids.
Yeah, and that too. I mean, there's
so good.
So many of these sports you'd never think to play would come out on these consoles. Kelly Slater Pro Surfing, Matt Hoffman BMX.
I would say Snowboard Kids is basically if Mario Kart had snowboarding, then it would be Snowboard Kids. It's pretty much the combination of gameplay is a snowboarding game, but has all the kind of quirkiness of Mario Kart. So if you've never played it, I suggest going and getting it.
I remember in high school, everybody was playing Snowboard 1080 for the N64. Because it was just so much fun, and graphically, it looked fantastic. And that's back when things were still on the good old cartridges.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
technically, they were split at that point because it was N64, PS1, so...
I'm trying to think if there was any other big sports games that came out during that time. I can't remember anything super notable from the Dreamcast, although I think that's the last place there... Because I think for a really long time, the only game in town was EA's NHL series. And then I know there was a hockey series there that died, and they haven't made one since, I think. or maybe it was football. I'm not entirely sure. As we move forward with the consoles, I know with Mario, once again, you'd see him strike out and other really weird things. I remember for the Wii U, anyway, for the Wii, rather, there was Mario Strikers, Mario Super Strikers. There was that 3-on-3 basketball game I was mentioning. There was a game, I think this was for the Wii, I think it was called Mario Sports Mix.
Yeah, I think that one was either like licensed by Square or made by Square. There's one of them that's made by Square Enix, and it's like actually pretty rare because like it had a very limited run. Apparently it's a really good game too. I can't remember if it was the Sports Mix though.
Yeah. Maybe. It's one of those ones where when Nintendo makes a sports game or it's licensed with their characters, very rarely does it suck. Although, I do not see why they still keep making Mario Golf games. And that's another thing, too. Celebrity endorsements, I mean, there's still John Madden. But when Tiger Woods hit it huge in the mid-2000s, holy shit, man. Tiger Woods, 2005, 2007, 2000 whatever. And up until his sex scandal, these games were relatively popular. Stuff like that. And it's kind of crazy that people would go out and buy these things. And I think sports games, for all the good that they've done, have done this terrible thing. And it seems more prominent now than it was.
Oh, it gets worse and worse every year.
Yeah, like back in the Super Nintendo days, like I said, with the NHL series, things changed up. They made the engine better year to year. I mean, you can notice a night and day difference between NHL 94 and NHL 96, like with the addition of one-timers and all this other crazy shit. But you look at, say, Madden last year's and to now, it's a roster change and maybe a few other things.
Well, I mean, the current generation of games for sports games, I would say probably every 2 to 3 years there'll be a major change. But generally, it's just small changes each year. This is where I really wanted to have that buddy on the show to argue this point because he plays all of them. When I have this argument with them, it's usually, oh, no, they added this and this and this, and it's a completely different game. But only certain years will they ever say that. So it's in my opinion, small changes every year, basically, and then like every other year there's like a major improvement or something. But the graphics nowadays, it's starting to look like when I watch them play hockey, it looks like I'm watching a goddamn hockey game on the TV.
Yeah, like it's kind of cool that it's now gotten to that point. I mean, I remember I reviewed NHL, I think it was 2010, for one of the radio stations. And if you weren't watching the screen, if you were just listening to the commentary, it sounds so legit. It's kind of crazy. And even games, like even certain wrestling games, it looks like Monday Night Raw or SmackDown. With the color commentary, I mean, the games are becoming just better in that sense. And I like it when they try and push.
yes, Dodd. Games are becoming better.
Well, it's not
kind of how we have to do it.
Well, it's the immersion with these things. And maybe that's why people buy them year to year. I'd kind of wonder.
You know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see them actually go down into like a third person or first person. Well, third person would probably be better. Like, I think Gears of War kind of third person style, and do that for fucking hockey or football or something. Get right into the damn game. That would be really cool.
I'd like to see them just, I don't know. I mean, I'm pretty sure there's other sports that haven't been tackled yet. One game that surprised me just how good it was for being a sports game was the UFC games.
Oh yeah.
so technical. Like, and EA has their own series. It's called MMA. May actually buy this game this year because they got Bruce Lee in it.
Really?
I could have Bruce Lee fuck up Brock Lesnar. Holy shit, is that a reason for me to buy it? Like, it's cool shit like that. I don't know. Like I said, I wish I could be as passionate about sports games as certain people are, because genuinely, it makes me kind of jealous when I hear people talk about football, baseball, or hockey, and they have this encyclopedic knowledge about it.
They have the kind of knowledge we do about RPGs.
Yeah, it's really kind of cool just to hear them. Like, these people could be on sports radio and be an authority on certain things. It's really kind of cool. And see them apply their knowledge to things. Like, I've seen people play football games and, like, holy crap, you kicked the shit out of those guys. Like, yeah, well, I knew what I was doing, so I did this, that, and the other thing.
Well, they do take skill. It's one of those things, like, where I have this argument all the time with my buddies where they'll be like, oh, well, let's see you beat me in, like, NHL. And I was like, well, let's see you beat me in Halo. They're completely different skill sets, but it does require a lot of skill. I mean, there's timing. You have to know the rules and all that. It's like, when I jump into a hockey game, I'm usually just trying to check people because it's fun. Just slam them into the boards. And generally, I always lose because of that, because I just don't care enough about the actual game, because it's just not my style. But to actually be really good at it, you do have to have skill. You have to have that set of skill. A lot of them are very passionate about the game too. So that's where that comes in. That's where you learn all that. Like, I mean, me or you, if we really, really, like, if somebody waved like a couple grand in front of our face and was like, hey, get really good at fucking NHL and you can have this money, then we would get good at it. It's just we have no incentive because it's just not our style of game that we enjoy.
Which is kind of strange because there's all these tournaments for League of Legends and StarCraft and Street Fighter. Why are there no competitive tournaments for sports games? I mean, I'm sure there are. But I've never heard of it.
Why are they not advertised more?
Yeah, because, like,
although, I never actually thought of that. It's very surprising that there isn't anything like that.
There is. 2K Sports does it for their baseball games. And they have, if you can pitch a perfect game, you get $1 million or some shit like that. And there's always somebody who does
it. In their video game?
Yeah, they always have a guy who does it in the first week of release.
Oh, wow.
And they have to and they can verify it because it talks to their servers. And they say, if we catch you using a glitch, you're fucking done. But yeah, like, some guy, like, I remember reading about this when I got emails from them. And I think that's really cool. And there's always, one thing I find really interesting about sports games in particular is if you're voted to be on the cover of that year's Madden game, you're going to have a bad time. That person either breaks something as a horrible season or something terrible happens to them.
Oh boy.
That's really weird that happens. It's known as the Madden curse. Look it up sometime. It never happens for hockey guys though, at least that I'm aware of.
Well, that's good. We like our hockey players.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not to have them break legs.
One sports game series, or at least things that's based around, that have almost always been terrible to me, anything based on the Olympics is almost consistently shit for whatever reason.
Because the Olympics are not fun. It's more just a test of skill that, has rewards at the end of it. And I don't know. It's not for me.
Yeah.
The video game versions of it they're just always so bad or boring. And they feel like mini game, like party mini games, except not entertaining, like Mario Party or anything would be.
Mm-hmm. Which, in case you guys are curious, voting, I guess it doesn't matter, because by the time this episode comes up, it won't matter. There's currently the vote going on for NHL 15's cover athlete between PK Subban and Patrice Bergeron. Unfortunately, it looks like Patrice Bergeron's going to win from the Boston Bruins. I'd rather have PK Subban, because it's a black dude playing hockey. And this guy's really good. Although there was some racism crap going on earlier this season. But still, he's awesome. Moving on. You know what? I think we've probably taken this about as far as we can. I mean,
yeah, I'm very tapped out. Because I'm not much of a sports game guy. So I've tried to both defend it and criticize it as best as I can with the knowledge that I have.
I think sports games, as my closing thought, I think a yearly release is bad, but if they did them bi-yearly and offered a significant update for maybe 10 or 15 bucks, I'd be okay with that. I mean, do a season's pass or something, and with that you get all the roster changes, you get all the changes in management happen, and your game reflects what's happening in the chosen league or sport that's happening right now, plus they'll offer tweaks that happen in the background. I know with Mortal Kombat 9 and Injustice, they could patch the game without patching the game. They could fix it when you were playing it. So if they did that, if you got Madden every 2 years and the game would be different than the last one in some significant way, I'd be fine with that, because franchise fatigue is something that happens entirely too often because of games like Madden. You see these games entirely too often. I mean, that's what killed the Tony Hawk series. The games came out too goddamn often, and now it's happening with Call of Duty and Battlefield. People are finally getting tired.
Yeah, and I mean, sports games have been like this longer than any other series, really.
Yeah.
And so I entirely agree with you. It should just kind of push it back maybe once every 2 years, and yeah, do roster updates, because with the internet now, they have access to that. They don't need to release a full game, because eventually people are going to just be like, you know what? I will only buy it every other year because it's $60 and I'm only getting a roster update, or I'm getting small tweaks to the game, or like, because I know a lot of people that they buy it only when there's something significant happens to the game, or they just buy it every other year unless they really want to play like with the most updated teams and stuff. But generally they just want to play some hockey. They just want to play some football. They don't care that much. Some of them do. Some of my friends are like, they have to have every single fucking one because it's just like Call of Duty. They have to be playing with the newest stuff. But eventually people will get tired of it.
And sports games are the bane of retail and are the bane of video game collectors. Whenever you go to a flea market, what are you bound to find?
They're just fucking sports games everywhere. And their value is nothing because they come out every fucking year.
Yeah, I mean,
if everyone buys a copy, then everyone trades it in, everyone buys the new one, the value on that old one, because no one wants it, basically becomes zero.
Yeah.
It's just bad.
And it's always funny, like, you'll notice this, guys, pro tip, if you're buying a Super Nintendo or a Genesis or basically older consoles, and you always see a sports game packed in with it, you know that's exactly what the guy has. Nothing except the console. Because, like, for example, in our local area on Orange Hill Buy and Sell, we'll say, I always see a guy. He'll be selling an older console. It will be nothing but sports games and thinking he can charge 90 or 100 bucks for it. And I always find that really funny.
Well, a lot of the times people will just pack in like 10, 20 sports games with a console and just be like, yeah, it's got like 20 games, just to try to grab those people that just don't know.
Yeah.
Like for value's sake, you know, they're worth probably $1 a piece. But I mean, if you like sports games, man, you're getting a great fucking deal because you get tons of sports games.
And sometimes the older sports games are better.
Yeah, a lot of the times they are. Like, I mean, 90% of our conversation today was about the older sports games that we actually enjoyed, whereas a lot of the newer ones is, you know, they're good, but they're the same thing pretty much rehashed every time.
So I guess as my closing question to you, what is your favorite all-time sports game?
I'm going to cop out on this one and say I like Blitzball from Final Fantasy X. I had save files dedicated just to playing that sports game within the game.
For me, my favorite of all time is NHL 95 on the Super Nintendo. I had one of the greatest seasons with the Toronto Maple Leafs. I stacked my roster, but god damn, was that a season to remember. I remember the winning goal for the Stanley Cup was a one-timer from the blue line, or from the red line, going out towards center ice. Maybe it was, I think it's the blue line. I can't remember. It's been so long since I've played or watched, and it just went past the goalie, right above his glove. That was it. Game 7. Eat my balls. The Leafs are taking home a Stanley Cup for the first time in what feels like 70 years. And that's the only Stanley Cup I'm ever going to see in my life. Come to Toronto. Motherfucker. But yeah, so next time on Prototype, we're talking music games.
Yep.
And we're going to have Barry Batman with us on that one. Because she's out there saving crime.
Oh boy. And then after that, it'll be E3 most likely. And then we're going to do a Nintendo based category. We won't. Wait, did you already give it up of what it was? No, you didn't.
No.
We said Nintendo.
But if you have a Wii U, we're going to be giving something away.
Yes.
So you should be
something
looking
awesome.
Forward to that.
So you definitely need to stay tuned.
It'll be fun. So anyway, guys, for the Prototype, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd.
And I've been Jamie J.J. Johnston saying fucking sports games, man.
Keep your stick on the ice, guys. Bum 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 b